What's going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. Another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Also, Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Hopefully, everybody having a fantastic Thursday morning. Daily Handle House, good afternoons. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to everybody here. Welcome in Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network. We have a lot to get to here on this show. It's going to be a heavy NBA show. We have our guy, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Quisenberg DFS of FTN Daily, FTN Bets, and FTN Fantasy joining me in just a little bit. And we've been doing this over the past couple of years, and Zach has been super sharp. A couple of years ago, he called the Bucks. He called the Bucks when everyone was talking about Milwaukee being choke artists. He called the Bucks to win the championship a couple years ago against the Phoenix Suns. A couple years removed from that, I think we could see a rematch between the Bucks and the Suns. But Zach is hanging by. We are going to dive into all the matchups. So a heavy NBA show here today. There's 15 games on the ice in the NHL. There's a lot of action. There's only two days remaining before the Stanley Cup playoffs get underway on Monday. We now know all 16 teams that are in the playoffs. We just don't know who's playing who. We've known since October, Halloween, that the Leafs and the Lightning were going to suit up in the first round. It was just a matter of where game one would be. It's in Toronto, Scotiabank Place, a rematch of last season, Leafs and Lightning. Dangle Bazzelli already recorded, available on our FTN Network YouTube page, iTunes, Spotify, Game Plus Network. We are going to have a Stanley Cup preview show, I think, tomorrow. We want to have all the matchups intact. I feel like we'll have a pretty good idea of the matchups after tonight. There are some meaningful games. Last night, the Islanders, they beat the Canadiens. They clinched. The Penguins are done. We talked about it yesterday. It was the longest active playoff streak in the NHL. 16 straight seasons, the Penguins have been to the playoffs. Sidney Crosby and Malkin and Letang and company bounced. See you later. Bye-bye. Couldn't get it done. The Islanders clinched last night. The Florida Panthers, if they win tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes and the New Jersey Devils beat the Washington Capitals, we'll see the Florida Panthers have that number one wild card spot. They would avoid the Boston Bruins as long as they win and New Jersey beats Washington. New Jersey would leapfrog Carolina atop the Metro. Then we would have the Rangers and the Hurricanes. We would have the Islanders and the Bruins, the Leafs and the Lightning, and then the Florida Panthers and the New Jersey Devils. If everything stays true, Carolina takes care of Florida, then we would have the Devils and the Rangers, the Panthers and the Bruins, the Islanders and the Hurricanes, and the Leafs and the Lightning. There's a lot more craziness, I think, in the Western Conference. I believe the Oilers still have a chance to have that top spot to tie Vegas. I think they have the tiebreaker there. We know that the Jets are in, and they're locked in to playing the number one seed. The Kraken have a chance to catch the Kings. There's a lot that can happen over in the Western Conference. The Colorado Avalanche control their own destiny. They win tonight. They win tomorrow. They take top spot. If they lose tonight against the Jets and the Stars beat the Blues again, which they took care of the Blues last night, then we would see Dallas take that top spot. Confused yet? I am a little bit as well. Bats, I probably got that all wrong, but I'm pretty confident that I got it right. A lot of action again in the NHL tonight. It's a really tough to handicap tonight in terms of a betting standpoint. It's tough. I don't know who's sitting as of right now. Why would the Lightning roll out anybody? There's a handful of teams like the Lightning. I don't feel like should be playing anybody. I know Braden Point's one goal away from 50 goals. So we're going to give him a little bit of love on the show. We like a shot prop. I think, you know, I'm going to buy into that narrative. There's a few other teams that may not play their guys. I don't know. I think the Oilers, you know, with a chance to get that top spot, they'll probably play some guys. Vegas, what's Seattle doing? Like Seattle potentially could move up. I guess the chance to, you know, avoid one of those number one seeds, I could see it, but there will be some, like Boston. You got 133 points, one win away from what, 65, I believe. So do they rest guys against the Canadiens tonight? Probably. I would, you know, if I was them, and I would be resting like Sergachev and Vasilevsky and Victor Hedman. I wouldn't be rolling out Stamkos, and Tampa's just kind of locked in. They know who they're playing, and they're banged up at the moment. So, but we do have a couple NHL props and some picks, but EY and I rolled through all the games. One thing I do want to say off the top of the show is, we will have the Stanley Cup preview show potentially tomorrow afternoon, maybe over the weekend when we have those matchups. I'm going to have a free article over at ftnbets.com as well, breaking down all of the eight series, you know, fantasy pool rankings, players to draft in your pools. We're going to have some series props as well. You know, I'm going to have predictions of what I think will happen. My bracket, I'll share with you guys as well on this show. Probably share it on Monday. Dangle Batselli, I'll definitely share it, but I'll have it inside the article, which will be free over at ftmbets.com. So I'm going to take care of all the fantasy hockey pool players out there. We're going to also have a player pool, box pool on Dangle Batselli, but we are going to give away some FTN swag in the NHL bracket. It's going to be free to enter the NHL bracket. So look for that. I believe they are available over at nhl.com, but follow on all the social platforms at FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Network, and at Chris Meany. And of course, we'll share all that stuff here on the show. I think it's the Leafs year, guys, at least to win first round matchup. I don't know how deep they're going to go, but I do like their squad. So Zach's hanging by. A lot of afternoon action happening in Major League Baseball, so I'll have a pick or two towards the end of the show. But ftnbets.com/free, ftndaily.com/free, all the picks across all sports. Jays let us down a little bit yesterday. They did pull out the win. We didn't get the runs. Matt Chapman, again, didn't get the homer, but we called over 1.5 total bases at plus money. He just continues to rake and hit the ball. Video game-like numbers for Mr. Matt Chapman. I do believe he's on a contract here too, right? He needs to get paid. These things tend to happen in sports. But he's healthy, and you know he's a good bat. He's definitely a probably more known for his defensive ability at third, the hot corner, really good defensive player, but he does have a hot bat, and not surprised to see that he's, you know, probably going to flirt with 30 home runs. It's kind of a given. Last night in the NBA, Zach's hanging by here. We're going to break and bring him on. We'll dive into all these series. This is some lopsided, you know, series in the Eastern Conference, like Philly's heavy favorites against Brooklyn. The Bucks are going to be heavy favorites, whoever they play between Miami and Chicago. And then, you know, the Celtics are heavy favorites as well. But how about what happened in Toronto last night with the Raptors? So blowing a 19-point lead, a team that shot 78% from the charity stripe and 18 for 36 last night from the free throw line. I know everybody's talking about DeMar DeRozan's daughter here today. And, you know, it's kind of jokes. You know, I guess like I'm north of the border and, you know, I hang out with a lot of Toronto Raptors fans and it's kind of split. Most of them are just like, no. Like, you can't be giving DeMar DeRozan's daughter all that much credit. That can't be that distracting. You know, you see people all the time yelling and like all the stuff that they're banging around, you know, it's fun. I kind of like that about the NBA. But DeMar DeRozan's daughter was like, directly behind the basket, and she was screaming at every free throw attempt. I think it would have to be a little distracting. It's a team, like I said, shot 78% from the line, 18 for 36 yesterday. They were up 19 points. They blew that. They couldn't hit a free throw down the stretch. I just thought it was kind of jokes, but how do you let that happen in your own barn, Toronto? Come on. Like, I understand it's a little girl and it's DeRozan's daughter, and there's like, I get that connection there. But I don't know, like if I'm head of the Raptors or I'm security, I'm telling her to shut up, like settle down. Like let's not get too carried away here. It's all in fun. Is that the reason they lost? Probably not. But I just don't know how you let that happen multiple times in your own barn. And it was jokes. DeRozan said that she was supposed to go to school. She really wanted to go to the game and she will be going to the to school on Friday, so she won't be going to the game. So we can all jump on Miami Heat money line because let's be real, she's the true MVP. We also have OKC and Minnesota. The credit to the Thunder, man. SGA and Giddy getting it done in the fourth quarter. These guys have, what, 15 first-round picks over the next 5 years as well? They got a lot going on in OKC, and they have a chance to punch their ticket into the playoffs with a win against Minnesota, and I think they could get it done. We'll talk to Zach about that. We have some NBA championship odds. We have NBA final odds. I got some rapid fire stuff. I want to have some fun with Zach, point leaders potentially with the series. And we will call a winner here on this show. We'll dive deep into it. Zach's in here next. Keep your lock. Mean Streets continues right here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Also a Game Plus Network presented by So Rare. We have Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kweiserberg DFS, joining us right now. Also doing a lot of So Rare videos for us over at FTN and Network. I see you with your weekly NBA lineups. Of course, that part of it is done, and your weekly MLB lineups. It's fun, man. I've had some fun on this show constructing some lineups, and there's lots of cool prizes that you can win, you know, autograph merch, tickets to games, VIP stuff. I know you're having a lot of fun with it as well. What do you think of it about 3 weeks into the season? How's your team's been doing?
On the baseball side of things, Chris, not great. I mean, baseball's never been my strong suit, but like you said, like I'm having a ton of fun building my teams and kind of learning the baseball side of things. Like it's pulling me back into MLB. Like I've been a Rangers fan. We'll put that in quotes. I don't think, you know, I've kind of been freelance for the last 7 or 8 years with how the Rangers have looked, but they're sucking me back in some of those big acquisitions. And now SoRare really helping me kind of put two and two together, so to speak. But I'm looking at some of my NBA lineups for this first game week in the playoffs. Sitting in 107th right now in limited contender. Jalen Williams, Kyle Lowry, Mike Conley. That helps a little bit. I need Cameron Payne and Obi Toppin to come through for me there to finish out a strong week one here.
So you can play NBA throughout the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And they've got like playoff long leaderboards with some of those prizes amazing. You were talking about. I mean, there's, I believe, tickets to the finals. There's merch, VIP experiences. Like I'm having a blast too. And you know that I've gotten into the MLS side of things. So I've been playing some soccer SoRare as well. I love SoRare.
Yeah, SoRare is awesome. Of course, we have the QR code there you can scan. We have a link inside the description of this video. If you're watching on Game Plus Network, you can scan. You can hop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page. As I mentioned, Zach's been doing some videos. We've been doing some weekly videos. We'll have an MLB lineup tomorrow as well as they run Monday to Thursday and then over the weekend. So we've been having some fun. We hope to continue to have some fun. I encourage everybody to check it out. Even if you like you're an old school card collector, right? It's all free to sign up and you know, collecting cards and rare cards and buying and selling and trading. It's I love it. I'm all about it. Before we get into the playoff scenarios and the matchups, I want to get your thoughts last night on the Raptors north of the border. Of course, a lot of Toronto people watching the show, Toronto fans. What did you make of DeMar DeRozan's daughter last night, just screaming her head off? The real MVP last night. Do you think that was distracting for the players or not?
I can't say it didn't. I mean, the free throws was really the most embarrassing part of it for the players, right? The whole Toronto franchise there. Like when you are at this level, or even like if you see a college team shoot like that from the free throw line, like you're disappointed. So I can't say that she didn't have some effect there. And I love to see that type of stuff, Chris, because it's the playoffs, right? Like we're even in the play-in here, which is kind of the purgatory between regular season. It's not playoffs, but it is postseason. It's everything is ratcheted up once you get past the first 82. And we've seen that not just in Toronto last night, but I thought the first night of games was fantastic as well.
Yeah, the play-in is great. I feel like they should incorporate it into the NHL as well. It's exciting. You got a couple chances to get in, and it just makes for really fun basketball, I think, you know, this week and finding out which teams will get in. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, tough for the Raptors. I think a lot of their fans really wanted them to sell at the deadline. And I remember you and I chopping it up after the deadline. We were a little bit surprised. And I know you did an NBA trade deadline show too. Were you surprised that they didn't trade some of their pieces? And what do you think is next for this squad in the offseason? Some rumors that maybe Nurse is gone. They kind of just move some of these pieces or lose some of them. But overall, I was a little bit surprised that they didn't sell at the deadline.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. Like, I don't hate what they did bringing in Jakob Poeltl. Like we saw, especially throughout the latter half of that regular season, or really latter third after that trade deadline, that he gave them more versatility defensively, because we know about the switchability of all of their 6'9", 6'10 guys who can guard every position. But Precious Achiuwa is not the answer as a traditional center. And Christian Coloco may get there, but he's a few years away. So I like the idea of bringing Jakob Poeltl back. But like you said, like all of the smoke around the Raptors at that point was that they were looking to sell. Maybe OG Anunoby was the kind of the name that was floated out there most. And I think now they've put themselves in a position where, like, where else do you go in this offseason besides being sellers again? At least, like, I think we're going to start to see some of that smoke resurface around a guy maybe like OG Anunoby or even Pascal Siakam, because I do think Masai is, you know, first of all, one of my favorite GMs in the league, and I think he's one of the best over the last, you know, decade or so in the NBA. But like, I think everybody really out with the exception of Scottie Barnes should be on the table in any potential trades or moves that the Raptors are thinking about making. Cause I just don't know if they have enough. Like there's juggernauts out East, man. And we'll talk about some of them here in a second, but
yeah.
I don't think like there's going to need to be a big move or kind of a shift in the core of this roster to get them back up into contention in the Eastern Conference.
You mentioned the juggernauts. Let's take a peek here. So we do have Chicago and Miami happening on Friday. The winner will play the Bucks. So the Bucks are going to be massive favorites in whoever they play here between the Bulls and the Heat. We have Brooklyn as well and going up against the 76ers. So just kind of read off some series odds just to give you guys a feel. Like DraftKings has the 76ers at minus 900. To take care of the Brooklyn Nets in that first matchup. The Celtics are minus 1,000 to take care of the Hawks at plus 650. And I would imagine the Bucks are probably going to be in around that same number as well to take care of either Chicago or Miami. I guess I'll ask you, who do you think has the best chance to upset in the first round? Brooklyn, Atlanta, or potentially the winner here of Chicago or Miami. And by the way, as I said off the top, DeRozan's daughter will not be at that game in Miami. She's got to go to school. So the MVP will be away from the Bulls. I don't know. There may be a petition in Chicago to get her away from class that day. We'll see. Who do you think has the best chance to upset in the first round? You could say no. I mean, no one maybe, but who's the best chance?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a boring guest here, at least at this point of the show, and fair, say, yeah, nobody. I think that Brooklyn has the best chance to take a game or two here in the first round, but I really do think that the second round on both sides of this playoff tournament is going to be where we have some potentially like the dream matchups, both for the league and for our enjoyment as fans. But the Eastern Conference first round just looks like it's going to be a total snooze, in my opinion. Like, I was impressed with what Atlanta did in South Beach on Tuesday night. Well-deserved win. And I do think that that could be a little bit more entertaining from a fan perspective, but I didn't really care who was coming out of this East play-in for either the 7 or the 8 seed. Boston and Milwaukee are just so much leaps and bounds above all four of those teams from the 7 through 10. So I have sweeps right now in both of those series, especially Milwaukee. Like, I don't see Miami or Chicago being able to get a game off of those Bucks who are coming in at full strength. And now it looks like Boston also, I think the Time Lord there, Robert Williams, is the biggest question mark. Can he stay healthy? But assuming health for that Boston team, I don't see Atlanta getting a game off them either. And if they do, one at the very most. So Brooklyn and Philly is where I would be looking. And I respect what Brooklyn did, even like with that KD trade. I thought Sean Marks did really well with the return that he got, but that roster is still very clearly a superstar away from being back up in the top four conversation, and props to them for holding on to the six. But I think Philly is certainly improved this year. Like, the three-game gap between them and Boston in the final regular season standings, I don't think was indicative of how close they were to being in the mix for those top two spots, because they sat some guys down the stretch once Boston clinched that two seed. So I have Philly in five now, so I am giving Brooklyn a game. I respect Jacques Vaughn. What Mikal Bridges has done since coming over from Phoenix has been fantastic. And some of those holdovers, like Nick Claxton, has had a great season as well, but it's going to be too much to go up against Joel Embiid. And, you know, maybe if James Harden, seems like he's maybe a little banged up coming into the series, but I don't think they need 100% James Harden to take care of business against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think he said it perfectly with Brooklyn, right? It was this is a team that was near the top of the board in terms of championship odds. And then all of a sudden, just like that, Kyrie wants out, KD is gone. And I think they did a pretty good job in the return of both of those trades. And now they're playing here in the playoffs. And the Mavs are not. There's not enough time to get into it, dude. I'd love to have a conversation with you about what the heck happened in Dallas, but oh my goodness, yeah. Just an absolute freefall. Not to be one of the 10 teams in the Western Conference, just so shocking to me. But the defense has just been, it was just so bad. The 76ers on DraftKings, for them to win like the series spread 3.5. So that's plus 240. So if you feel like maybe Philly in five, you give Brooklyn a game. If you feel like, you know, the Nets are going to win a couple games, you could go Nets plus 2.5 at plus 20. But I'm kind of with you. I think maybe the Nets get one. And this is like a five-game series. So 76ers, 3.5 game spread there at plus 240 at DraftKings, I think is pretty interesting. And we just don't, obviously we don't have anything yet for the Bucks, but I would agree the Bucks and the Celtics probably don't have any issues here moving on. This one though, like this would be a good one, right? Yeah. Cleveland and New York, as you see with some of the statistics here, the Cavs 51-31, the Knicks, 47-35. You know, Cleveland is looking at just, you know, offensive points per game. They're number one. Defense efficiency, this is like points allowed per 100 possessions, number one, 107.7. So really good defensive squad. They shot well from the floor. 48% is top five, you know, in the NBA. And the Knicks, too, like, you know, they were pretty good offensively. You see the offensive efficiency mark there, number five, points per game inside the top 12. I think a little bit better from beyond the arc, shooting some threes. But the Cavs here to win the series, minus 200 favorites, and the Knicks plus 165. This one should be really entertaining. What do you think about this series, Zach?
So I actually think this is going to be a relatively quick series as well. And a big part of it is that there's a question mark right now surrounding Julius Randle and his ankle injury. But even if he was fully healthy, I still think I would be taking the Cavs in six to close it out in the Garden. Like, I think people are overlooking this Cavs team just a little bit in this series because, you know, there's a lot of Knicks fandom out there, and to their credit and coach Tom Thibodeau, like they really got it rolling down the second half of the regular season. But this Cleveland team has four guys who have been all-stars over the last two seasons, and neither team is particularly deep. So I do think the Cavaliers are probably a year away from being a true contender in the East, but they are the sleeping giant. And like I compared them on the FT and NBA podcast to the Warriors the year before they won their first title, when they pushed that really good San Antonio team to the brink in the second round. Like, it was like, oh, like these guys are going to be something to be reckoned with down the road. And I think that's what Cleveland is in terms of the big picture. But right now I've got Cleveland in five. And that 4-1 series score is plus 380 on DraftKings. So I think that would be my pick for this 4-5 matchup out East.
Oh, I love it. Plus 380, 4-1. Yeah, and if you want to be a little conservative, maybe just the Cavs to win, you know, in six is the two games there, plus 105 over at DraftKings. Okay, so easy work for Cleveland. I didn't realize how great defensively they were. Like, I knew they were really good, but, like, looking into their numbers just to – pull up some of these previews, it's like, oh wow, number one, right? Good squad. And Donovan Mitchell, like, how impressive this guy. I feel like every team should have been calling Utah to see if he was available, and it's Cleveland that came away with him. And I think he's like probably a guy that you're going to be talking about in So Rare, right? Maybe throughout these playoffs.
Yeah, no question. And especially like those guys that you think are going to get through to the second round are good cards to have in your collection right now. Like on the NBA side of things, if we're dipping back into So Rare, the cards that were in your scarcity collection, you know, those limited cards, rare cards, etc., those get a 15% boost in these playoff tournaments. So if you already had a pretty good collection, you're getting rewarded for it. So I unfortunately don't have a Spider Mitchell in my collection, but if I did, he's a guy that I would certainly be rolling out in some of these lineups.
Okay. I don't want to get too deep into yet. I mean, I want to get your predictions at the end, but let's just kind of fast forward here into the East. So, you know, whoever, Chicago, Miami, whatever, we got Milwaukee moving on. We got Philly moving on. We have Brooklyn moving on here. So let's fast forward Philly and Boston. If that's a matchup that we see, who do you give the benefit of the doubt to in that series?
Again, I'm going to be a bad guest and be a little boring here. I am completely chalky in my Eastern Conference bracket right now. I've got Boston and Philly. I've got Milwaukee and Cleveland, of course. And I've got the top two seeds advancing to that Eastern Conference final. Again, if Robert Williams is not right, that is going to help Philadelphia immensely, because Boston has plenty of bodies that they can throw at a guy like Joel Embiid. But to me, you need Robert Williams and Al Horford. Those are very clearly the top two guys, because if you don't, then This is not a matchup where you can get away, in my opinion, with Grant Williams against Joel Embiid. Like, Grant is great in his own right. You know, he has random awesome defensive games against guys like Giannis, which, you know, that could be a factor in a potential conference finals matchup. But if the Time Lord is not right and you're having to break, you know, break glass in case of Blake Griffin or Mike Muscala or guys like that, that's where I think Philly could get that advantage. But again, assuming health for these teams, I think Boston is still just a little bit too talented for the likes of Philly. But that certainly, to me, would be the more entertaining series compared to Cleveland and Milwaukee, where, again, I think Cleveland is about a year away, and I think Milwaukee has a little bit of an easier time in their potential second-round matchup.
I feel like the Bucks are just the most complete squad in the league. Yep. I really do, man. Across the board, a couple years removed from winning, I said it off the top of the show, you had called that on this show. You talked about the Bucks.
Yeah, down 0-2.
and down 0-2, you still doubled down on it. But before the playoffs had started, you said, listen, the Bucks are ready. It's been a couple years of like disappointment in the playoffs. I heard Giannis talk about, there was a report the other day that he was thinking about retiring because the pressure was just too much for him.
Yeah.
But they were able to get by down in that series. You were still like, I love this team still. I like their chances. And they did come back and beat the Suns. I feel they're the most complete squad. Even with Jay Crowder, man, like that's an underrated pickup.
I agree about Jay Crowder. I'm just going to shift focus back to that Cleveland-New York series. We just got news. Julius Randle still limited in practice and not taking contact yet. So again, Cleveland in 5 plus 380. I love that pick right now.
That's a good call. Let's break. And the West, is a little bit tougher to call. We are talking about some chalk here. But the East, with those three teams we mentioned, they're all heavy favorites. And, you know, I just don't feel like, we just said it, maybe those three combined underdogs get a win or two. But we do like the top dogs in the East to move on. So we'll revisit that East side of the bracket in a little bit. We'll break here with Zach and myself. We'll be back and we'll dive into the West because we do have a Sacramento team that checks a lot of boxes and they're a higher seed than Golden State, but they're dogs in this series. We'll talk about that series next here on Mean Streets. Keep it locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany and Quisenberg DFS on the Twitter machine. Zach Graham covering all things NBA related. And I assume you're going to be with the entire crew over at FTN Daily as well. I mean, playoff DFS, like I've been telling the crew, like NHL DFS, I love it, right?
Yep.
It's superstars. It's playoff action. You're going to be worried about all these guys who's sitting, who's not sitting. I love it. I think it's a little bit easier, but who am I to say? You're the NBA stud. So we talked about the West, or we talked about the East, rather. Talked about the studs. Mm-hmm. The West, I think, is definitely a little bit tougher to get into. I want to get your thoughts on OKC, though, quickly. Like, pretty cool. Like, last night, cool story. Got in. We were all over the Mavs. We were laughing at them. But OKC gets in. You know, they got, 15 picks, 15 firsts over the next 5 years. They got, like, a
Is it only that many?
I think. I don't know. I can't keep track. I had to actually double or triple count them yesterday on the broadcast. So I was like, is this graphic wrong? And I went to, like, the sites and see for sure if they were correct. But, you know, nowhere close to being a championship contender, but doing it the right way. And who knows, maybe they trade some of those picks for, you know, a couple superstars, or maybe they stay the course as well. I really like the direction of OKC after, you know, losing Harden and Durant and Westbrook over the years. They're on the right path, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, and I talked about FTN NBA podcast earlier. The Thunder were basically the honorary team of the podcast this season. Like, both Adam Pfeiffer and I love this team, and you're spot on, like nowhere close to being a contender, but that's okay for where this team is at right now. And the fact that I'm glad that they didn't really change what they do, right? They're not going to run guys huge minutes. You know, like you look at a guy like Josh Giddey throughout the regular season, played like 31 minutes per game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't getting huge minutes per game. It was really the rookie Jalen Williams. And you gotta make sure you define between the two, because they got two Jalen Williams, yes, who are both rookies. So J Dub is the wing, right? And then Jalen with a Y is the guy that plays center there. So I think, like, really J Dub was the guy who I think had the majority of the minutes throughout that second half of the season. Really, actually, on my fake awards ballot, made a push for rookie of the year. But last night, I was actually talking to our old buddy Thomas Viola at halftime, talking about some live bets, and I said, I think the Thunder have the best player on the floor. It's very close between him and Brandon Ingram, but you saw it last night, not just from SGA, but the 1-2 punch of him in that backcourt with Josh Giddey, who I think is maybe not criminally underrated. I think that's a little bit, that's some strong rhetoric, but underrated to be sure. And like, remember, Chris, this team has Chet Holmgren, who that's has right. not played a minute yet. And yeah. obviously, like you mentioned, all the picks that they can either make themselves or package a bunch together to go out and get another all-star caliber player. Like, Western Conference fans of other teams, it's cute right now for us, right? We're all saying, yeah, man, look at OKC. Like, this is fun to watch. After yeah. they beat our butts over the next two seasons, we're going to be tired of them. So enjoy it right now, OKC fans, that everybody's being friendly to you, because I see this team developing into a juggernaut out West. And I think it's going to be over a sustained period unless something crazy happens in that organization.
Yeah. Hopefully they just kind of stay the course and they don't ship these picks for, like, I don't know, I don't want to say average players, but I could see some teams have done that before, like stay the course. You got something good going on. Guys like Kevin Durant, Curry inside the conference are going to get a little bit older and you'll have mm-hmm. your chance. Giddey was fantastic last night. SGA, I mean, those two combined for 44 points in the second half of that game last night. SGA so smooth, kind of quiet in the fourth, but when the game was on the line, the ball was in his hands and he was just great, where I thought Ingram was kind of forcing a few shots and CJ McCollum, but SGA is and he's a player, and it's, again, just more experience for this young squad. It's a big moment for them, and we'll see if they get in. You know, they'll be in tough, of course, they play Denver, but, you know, getting in and we'll go a long way as we look here at this bracket. So Denver awaiting the winner here of OKC and Minnesota. We had the Lakers get by Minnesota. I was watching the Lakers and the Timberwolves, so it doesn't feel like anybody wanted to win that game. It was so sloppy in the fourth quarter and overtime, and then Davis with the foul on the three-point shot there from Conley. And anyways, it was highly entertaining. With the Lakers are in, and they play Memphis. That series is almost a pick 'em there. Memphis is slight favorites, and then we have the Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, and of course the Suns and the Clippers. I think I've seen a little bit of movement. I thought I saw Phoenix minus 600. Now they're minus 500. That's the one we don't have a board for, but I wanted to just talk about this one right off the hop, right? Sacramento has been one of the most surprising teams in the NBA, like 80-1 to win the championship. They're in second place 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if you had ever seen this, but I had never seen a second place team in a conference be 125-1 to win a championship. They're number one in scoring. You see points per game, they're number one. They're second from the field in terms of field goal percentage, offensive efficiency. Again, this is like points per 100 possessions. They are number one. Of course, they are going up against the defending champs, and when they're healthy, they're on point. And I still think, you know, when this team is fully healthy, they may just be the team to beat in the Western Conference. But again, Sacramento's getting no respect here. I get it. I totally understand. You got the Warriors, you have the Suns. You know, we haven't seen a lot of KD with the squad at full health, but they are getting a lot of respect from Vegas, and it's warranted. Then you have the Nuggets. So I totally get why the Kings are 80-1 and they're plus 200 to win this series, and Golden State is favored. But this series will start in Sacramento. And there's something to be said about the way the Warriors played basketball on the road this year. Potential upset. Can Sacramento hang? These are the two number one scoring teams in the league. Should be entertaining, at least.
I think the entertainment factor is the one thing we can count on from this series, right? And you mentioned the Warriors' road record. I think fourth worst in the league this season at 11-30. It's like almost unexplainable for such a team that is so solid, not just this season, but over the last, you know, this Warriors dynasty. I think it's fair to call the Warriors a dynasty at this point. But that road record, like you mentioned, like that, they were fourth worst in the league. The three worst teams in the league, San Antonio, Houston, and Detroit, are the only teams with worse road records this season. And the Warriors are going in to Sacramento, a team that has now broken the longest playoff drought in American professional sports. And so you know that arena is going to be rocking. They might have the best home court advantage in the first round. That said, if they don't win the first two and the Warriors steal home court back, I think this is over in six. I think the Warriors get all three games at home in this series. And so I think it is a paramount importance for the Kings to survive this first round that they have to win both games at home. And I don't see it. I have the Warriors in six right now. And again, the Warriors have not been great on defense either this year, but Bob Myers, the GM, said that Andrew Wiggins is expected to be available after his long personal leave there, and glad that he was able to get back to the team and take all the time he needed to deal with the health issues in his family. And then Coach Kerr said he expects Andrew Wiggins, like he's looked great in the scrimmages that he's gotten into over this week off. The week off is huge. Like, another big props to the NBA. Play-in tournament is great for entertainment. Yep. It also gives a week for these teams to get healthy between the regular season and the beginning of the first round. So with Kerr saying he expects Wiggins to be able to play close to his normal role, that's going to increase both the floor of the defense and the offensive end for the Warriors. Because you look back last year, Klay Thompson is back to, I think, close to what we expect from Klay Thompson now that we're at this point of the year. But last season during that championship run, Andrew Wiggins was arguably the second most important offensive piece on this team. So I think getting him back in the mix, it just kind of pushes the Warriors over the edge in terms of this matchup against Sacramento. But again, I think I'll be cheering for the underdogs. I just don't think they have enough to get it done because that defense is a sieve. They cannot stop anybody. With the Warriors, you know, if they round into form, which they tend to do around April over the last 10 years or so, I think it's unfortunately a bit of a lost cause here for the Kings. But again, I'm just watching those first two games. If they can take care of business at home, I'll certainly change my tune. And then this series will become a series that I want to be betting game by game, because then I don't think the Warriors turn around and win four straight. They could, but I just think then we got a series.
Yeah, if they can, if Sacramento can win that first one, or just one of them, but I assume Golden State getting, you know, a split would be a huge win for them on the road and going back home. But yeah, if Sacramento can win that first one, then all of a sudden there's like, I don't know if there'd be doubt because there's so much pedigree and championship experience on that side of it. But you would just have like on the other side, Sacramento saying, okay, like we can beat these guys. Yeah. We just took game one. We know we can score. We know that there's struggles on the road. Now we're feeling a little bit looser, and confidence is a crazy thing. Sabonis has been unbelievable. Fox has been great. There's a lot of cool stories with this Kings team, as you mentioned, you know, ending that long playoff drought and getting in. It just, it's comical though, to be honest, because they've been so good offensively, and we saw the statistics. They're not so great at stopping like anybody defensively. They definitely have some issues. And then you got this Warriors team, but to see a team as good as they were all year to be 80-1 and massive dogs opening up. But again, it certainly is warranted. I'm glad you brought up Wiggins. I knew you would. I thought he was so key last year too. A very underrated piece of what they did last year. And as you said, looking like he's going to be good to go. Health is huge. I heard Anthony Davis say that he didn't think that the Lakers could be ready to play another playing game on Friday. Well, buckle up, dude, because you got another one coming in a couple days. AD and LeBron look gassed. We're going to talk about them next after the break. We'll dive into that, and we'll wrap up with some championship odds as well. A little bit more to come here on Mean Streets. You're watching the NBA playoff preview show here, Mean Streets, presented by So Rare. Let's get after this one right away. Let's get right into it. This is the closest series according to Vegas. Memphis at minus 140 to win the series, via DraftKings, and the Lakers at plus 120. Some of these numbers, I suppose they could be a little skewed. LeBron missed a bunch of time. AD missed a bunch of time. And then on the Memphis side, of course, like Ja Morant was away from the Grizzlies for a little bit. Actually, that's when I thought Memphis would kind of falter, Zach. Like, that's when I was thinking as a Mavs guy. I was like, all right, you know, Ja's got some things to kind of figure out. He's going to be away from the team for a little bit. Dallas had a back-to-back against Memphis without Ja. They lost both of those games. They couldn't find a way to win. And Memphis continued to win. And it just goes to show, I think, some of the depth that this squad does have. I think it's the toughest one to call. What do you think, man? Who do you lean here?
Yeah, this is certainly the toughest first round series for me as well. Although I will say, not as surprised at the Grizzlies being able to tread water without Ja Morant, because we saw that they were actually better from a record standpoint last year. I'm certainly not suggesting that the Grizzlies without Ja Morant are a better team, but I believe they were 22-4 without him last season. So we've seen that depth, you know, come through for them before. I mean, I still think Tyus Jones is probably the best backup point guard in the league between he, Malcolm Brogdon, maybe Emmanuel Quickley there in New York. But Tyus Jones has been a stalwart in terms of the elite backup point guards in this league. I'm really looking at what can this makeshift front court after Triple J, because obviously Jaren Jackson Jr., my shout for Defensive Player of the Year, Evan Mobley, Brooke Lopez, both deserving. And I won't have any arguments if they do win it, but I think Triple J, once he got healthy from that injury that he sustained in the offseason, he was fantastic and took this team to another level on that end of the floor. But now no Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, torn Achilles. So now we're counting on guys like Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama to fill in those minutes here in the playoffs. And I think that's where the Grizzlies are going to come up short. Whether it's the first or the second round, I don't see them getting past a second round matchup against what I think is going to be Golden State. In this series right now, I am leaning Lakers in seven. And I think it's just respect to the King and Anthony Davis. I think, like, fair. Obviously, Ja Morant, fantastic player. I think the Lakers still have the two best players on the court in this series. Past that, it is clearly advantage Memphis, and we saw that not just throughout the regular season, but in that one-game sample against Minnesota, who was down two starters, and for all intents and purposes, down three starters because Anthony Edwards no-showed on Tuesday, they still almost won. I just think some of the Lakers banter that I've seen, and it comes with the territory when you are a franchise with the history like the Lakers, but the shouts that they can win the West or even the finals is just ludicrous to me. So I'm not surprised if the Grizzlies do pull off the series win here, but I do think it's too close to call for me. So again, this is one of these series that I would bet game by game. And I am leaning that it goes seven regardless. And I'll give the nod to, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time, but certainly top two, and LeBron James still doing it at an incredibly high level at age 38. But I think this is the series I'm most excited to watch. And I think maybe that's kind of the chalk pick in terms of the series we're all most excited for.
Yeah, I mean, whether you like LeBron or not, you got to respect him, man. At this age, what he is doing, and put the crown on the other day. I'm a LeBron fan. It's a combo for another day between him and Jordan, but I certainly am a LeBron fan. I don't know if this Lakers team can, like you said, could go on a run. I wouldn't expect them to go too deep into the playoffs, but
There's not enough shooting, nor do they really shoot isn't. Enough threes. Like, if you're relying on D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves to be your shoot, like, Austin Reeves percentage wise great this year, but can he do it at the volume that I think any good team and good coaching staff on the other side? You're going to force guys like Austin Reeves, like Rui Hachimura and Dennis Schroeder to beat you. And none of those names that I just listed are striking fear in the hearts of any opposing fan. So again, in this particular matchup, Anthony Davis has to be able to win his matchup against Jaren Jackson and absolutely dominate Xavier Tillman or Santi Aldama, whoever they're going to try to stop him with. If he doesn't, and he's just mediocre and not playing at that, you know, top 10 player in the league type of level that we know he has, the Lakers are in trouble. But again, I do think they sneak this series win. And then I think they get beat in the second round by the Warriors.
Schroeder with that three the other night. He just like ice in the vein. LeBron was doing it right behind. It was just a jokes picture of both of them. Just love it. It was great. Schroeder hit that shot. He said that he missed a shot at the earlier in the season at that exact point when LeBron kicked it out to him. And he's like, I got to make this one for the King. Plus 175 for that series to go seven games. Kind of interested, right? It might be back and forth. And then, as you saw on the board, plus 120 for the Lakers there. Break one more segment here with Zach. We'll get some final picks out of him. We'll take a look at the overall championship odds. And we will talk a little bit of Suns and Clippers here next on Main Streets. Welcome back, and we only have a couple minutes here, Zach. So let's talk Suns here and Clippers for just a second. I think for me, the Suns, I don't know how they can be stopped, man. If Kevin Durant is healthy, I really like this squad. When they made the trade, I jumped on plus 600 for them to win the championship. I just want to get your thoughts on who you think is going to win with Suns and Clippers. I know the Clippers got some like big key names on the squad, but who do you think is going to lead the series in points between the Suns and the Clippers? Throw a name at me. Who do you think?
Look, I know it's my namesake, but I'm going to go with Kawhi Leonard.
He is favored.
I guess that makes sense because like you've got there's only one ball, right? And on the Clippers side with no Paul George, like that's robbing us of this being the most interesting first round series. And
big time.
And again, homer alert, bias alert here. I have the Phoenix Suns winning in six. So I'm giving the Clippers without Paul George two games here. It's just Kawhi Leonard has looked at least 90% of what he was pre-ACL injury. He's been fantastic down the last 6 weeks of the season. Chris, he played in a back-to-back It's amazing. So like the fact that he looks so good and this team is still so deep, I do think they make this a little bit tough for Phoenix. But like you said, with KD, I think they just have a little bit too much talent here for the Clippers to get an upset here. And that's really the only disappointing thing I have to say about this Clippers team. I feel like they handled themselves really well down the stretch of the season. It's just unfortunate that Paul George had that knee sprain that's going to keep him out here, because I do think this would pretty clearly, in my opinion, be a first round series that would feel like a Western Conference final if he was healthy.
Oh, I know. We are definitely getting robbed of no Paul George, because as I mentioned, there's a lot of really good players in this series and only one ball. I knew you were going to go Kawhi. I kind of set you up for that. He is favored, but like some people may go Booker or KD, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different avenues like the Suns could go in that situation. Clippers plus 1.5 in the series at plus 150. Feel like they can kind of hang around here. So we'll get you out of here on this. Maybe rapid fire through a final two here. Eastern Conference Finals. Who are the two teams in the East?
Yeah, Bucks and Celtics, still boring here in the East for me, and I've got the Bucks coming out again. Like you mentioned earlier, and I agree with you, I think the Bucks are just kind of in their own tier right now in the league. I think Phoenix is the team that can challenge them the most in a potential finals matchup, which I think is also the chalk in terms of the most likely matchup in the NBA Finals. But shifting to the West here, I think Phoenix and Denver, to me, is, for all intents and purposes, the Western Conference Finals. I do think either of those teams will beat Golden State, who I have coming out of that bottom half of the bracket. Right now, if I had to just, no money on it, give me Phoenix to come out of the West. But I do think Denver is the value right now out West to win not just the conference at plus 380. They're behind even the Warriors at plus 350 on DraftKings right now. And then to win the title, 11-1 for the Nuggets. I mean, I think this team is getting a little bit of disrespect because they locked up the one seed so early and were able to kind of coast into the playoffs. And so I feel like some people feel like they maybe backed into this one seed, where I, on the other hand, feel like they totally earned it. And they have the two-time reigning MVP, a guy in Nikola Jokic, who has carried this team to a Western Conference Finals before, carried this team without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. to a 48-34 record last year in a playoff appearance. Like, now that this team is fully healthy, give me the Nuggets in terms of putting any sort of scratch down on the Western Conference, because I think they have now become what I think is the best value on the board.
I agree. And if you like him, you got to like Joker there at 12-1 as well, potentially to win the NBA Finals. Zach, you're fantastic, man. I appreciate all the work that you do and you taking the time to join me here today. So check out Zach on the Twitter machine. Like I said, he's going to be with you throughout the entire NBA playoffs with some DFS stuff, some So Rare stuff. You got the NBA podcast with yourself and Adam Pfeiffer as well. And then hopefully, when we get deeper into the playoffs, we get to a Final Four, maybe we can chop it up again as well. So appreciate you. Kweisenberg at DFS. Fantastic follow on the Twitter machine. We got some NHL picks to wrap up Mean Streets. Cheers, Zach. Thanks a lot.
See you, dude. Chris. Thank you.
Back in a couple. Back in 15 games on the ice. It's a weird night to be doing some bets on the NHL, but I tried to focus on players that are everybody's in a meaningless game or a meaningful game. Braden Point, I think, will play. He's one goal away from 50. So I believe he's going to shoot the puck here tonight, minus 134. Rupe Hintz was good to us last night, has the same matchup against the Blues, over 2.5, a must-win game for Dallas. They're in, but they want that top seed. Frank Petrano's been pretty much automatic. The same with Kirill Merchenko as well, a spot against the Penguins here tonight. Alex Tuck and Brock Besser. Besser's been almost automatic as well over the last month or so. Those guys together in a parlay at DraftKings, plus 189. Jeff Skinner and Michael Matheson in a parlay at plus 178 over at DraftKings as well. I get some fun same-game parlay stuff over at ftnbets.com. And here is one as well that I wanted to share. This from DraftKings. Nico Hischier point, Brady Tkachuk point, Rupe Hintz point, Evander Kane point, and Brock Besser point, plus 846. I'm like, wait, what's that? Plus 846? 8-1? All those guys for a point. Check out Dango Batselli for the rest. And also shout out Devin Booker, Finals MVP. I think the Suns get it done. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.